Research is helping to explain how some people cope more effectively with extreme stress. The work was done in conjunction with a training program for Army Special Forces at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. While the research deals explicitly with the kind of stress soldiers might experience on the battlefield, the results also could benefit civilians, NPR's Joe Palka reports.
Charles A. Morgan, Andy to his colleagues, is a psychiatrist at Yale University. He's been studying veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. But as he told the audience at a neuroscience meeting a few years ago, he was frustrated. Morgan was only seeing patients after they had become ill. He wanted to study them prospectively, following them from a time before they were exposed to combat stress, so he'd have something to compare to after the stress.
And I expressed my dismay to the audience, in fact, that it didn't look like we were going to really be able to do prospective studies to see if we could, in fact, predict who would get post-traumatic stress disorder. And after the meeting, Colonel Greenfeld came up to me and he said, I think we have something you may be interested in.
Andy Morgan says Greenfeld told him about a survival training program at Fort Bragg, where as part of their training, soldiers were exposed to extremely severe conditions designed to simulate real combat. Major Gary Hazlett is a psychologist working with the program.
Andy was looking for a reasonable analog to combat. And that's what, from the Army standpoint, that's what we want. If you look at a lot of the stress studies that are out there, they use stressors like, here, you have to make a public speech in 5 minutes, or put your hands in a bucket of cold water and keep it there. And if you talk to a soldier about that and say, well, that's an analog to combat, they pretty much throw you out the door.
But survival training school is another story. Hazlett says the soldiers are sleep-deprived, food-deprived, and kept constantly on the move as they try to evade their instructors. Ultimately, they are caught and interrogated.
They're tired, they're hungry, they're sleepy, so their bodies are physically being taxed, and then psychologically, they are under significant challenge. They have been tasked to try to continue to perform well in a situation that is similar to being captured.
This training regimen was just what Andy Morgan was looking for, something that really captures the stress of a battlefield. He was able to make measurements on these soldiers before they began training and then after they went through the interrogation. Morgan says he and Hazlett looked at soldiers from different services.
Actually, I went in not expecting to find any differences between these guys. And I thought, look, these are Rangers, Marines, they're Special Forces guys. They kind of sound the same to me. I'm sure that they're all pretty stress-hardy, pretty stress-tough, and I don't think I'm going to see any differences. In fact, I was wrong.
Morgan found that the Special Forces soldiers, the so-called Green Berets, did better during the training than others. They consistently got better marks from their instructors for performing well under stress. And when he looked at the levels of two brain chemicals known to relate to stress, Morgan says there was something remarkable about the Green Berets.
When they were exposed to high-intensity stress, they seemed to release much more norepinephrine and neuropeptide Y. And after stress was over, they came back to baseline. They sort of cooled off quickly and came back to where they started from, whereas the other groups of soldiers that we studied were depleted. They actually were then at levels in their hormones that were below their starting point.
Morgan doesn't know why the Green Berets' brains responded differently to stress than other well-trained soldiers. But just the fact that there are these measurable changes gives him and other researchers a tool for predicting who will be the most resilient under stress. Gary Hazlett says the Army's interest in understanding this is obvious.
If we can find out how people tolerate these stressors, you know, what are their particular advantages, whether it's psychological or whether it's physical, then maybe we can take those advantages and impart them to others.
Now, Hazlett and Morgan's work deals with people who expect to face stressful situations during their military careers. But there may also be important implications for anyone exposed to extraordinary stress. Dennis Charney is chief of the Mood and Anxiety Disorders Research Program at the National Institute of Mental Health.
So, for example, the neuropeptide Y increase seemingly relating to a good performance under stress would suggest maybe we ought to look at the function of NPY in patients who have stress-related disorders.
Charney says several pharmaceutical companies are already exploring ways to alter neuropeptide Y levels in the brain. it's probably unreasonable to suppose a pill will give you the poise under fire of a Green Beret, but it may someday change an intolerable stress load into a tolerable one. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.